Governor Parnell is putting his weight behind SB 29 to expedite permitting for cruise lines by this summer. Carla Hart with Alaska Community Action on Toxics urged the Senate Resources Committee to slow down.
The risk of quick action in your part is that you'll betray the voters of Alaska who voted to have this higher standard of clean water.
Hart reminded the committee that the amount of discharge was significant. More people visit Alaska on cruise ships each summer than live in the state. She did not think leveling cruise ship discharge with local communities made sense.
If an Alaska community doesn't meet discharge standards, it's in our front yard. We know where it comes from, we know where it is, and we know who's responsible, and we have to clean it up. Ships discharge anywhere, so remote areas that you might go to for subsistence harvest or for commercial fishing or whatever that you might think are clean because they're far away from any apparent discharge could actually be getting a pretty substantial burden over time and over all of the ships that are going on, because a lot of these things are heavier metals that bioaccumulate.
Alaska voters in 2006 passed the statewide cruise ship initiative, which set wastewater standards at the point of discharge. The Department of Environmental Conservation subsequently granted cruise lines temporary relief from these requirements to allow them time to install the necessary treatment systems. Putting ships on a different standard than Alaskan communities was a major argument against the initiative. John Kimmel with Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska told the committee that Senate Bill 29 would correct a flaw in the law that the voters adopted.
The cruise ships really need to be held to the same standard as everybody else. The original initiative held them to a higher standard than everyone else, and we're just trying to make it, this fix is going to make it more fair for the cruise lines.
A variation of this theme has made it to the table from a different direction. The Alaska Cruise Ship Wastewater Science Advisory Panel, in a preliminary report, says that many ships now meet or exceed Alaska water standards except for a few key heavy metals like copper. The report concludes that there would be little, if any, environmental benefit to requiring cruise ships to adopt additional treatment methods in the future. The report gave advocates of the cruise industry an opening to talk about science. This is Andy Rogers, the deputy director of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. He testified that his organization has now adopted a position
advocating for legislation and regulations that are based on sound science as opposed to a precautionary method.
And this is Bob Janes, a tour operator from Juneau.
I am not a scientist, and I think this subject is all about science.
But at least one bona fide scientist who testified before the Senate Resources Committee disagreed with the conclusions of the Science Advisory Panel, which she herself sits on. Michelle Ridgway, a marine ecologist in Juneau, believes the other members of the panel underestimate the potential harm from the consistent discharge of heavy metals.
Quite frankly, I think we'll be appalled by the long-term degradation of our marine ecosystem if we allow this to go forward in this form.
Ridgway thinks applying rules for shore-based treatment plants, which allow for mixing zones to cruise ships, will ultimately create a kind of Sophie's choice for the state.
I believe it will be exceedingly, excruciatingly difficult for Alaskans to concur on where it is within a 0 to 3 nautical mile area, our state waters, that we find it's acceptable for vessels to discharge water that contains copper, zinc, nickel, and ammonia at levels that are known to be acutely and chronically toxic to marine life that we all depend upon.
Chip Toma, president of Responsible Cruising in Alaska, said it was his organization's preference that ships discharge all waste in federal waters. He urged the committee to maintain the water quality standards set by voters, saying it was likely that much of the copper contamination would eventually be reduced as ships modernized with the use of flexible plastic plumbing. Senate Resources Chair Kathy Geisel scheduled another hearing on SB 29 for Monday afternoon, January 28th, at which she invited members to propose amendments. A companion bill in the House, HB 80, was heard in that body's Resources Committee on Monday afternoon as well. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.